Welcome to today's episode of The Power of Reinvention. Here we talk with my guests about the dreams, the visions, and the passions that individuals have every day and dare to explore them. Whether it's business or personal, you're entitled to live the life that you want, and no matter what the circumstances, you have the power to create success, fulfill your dreams, and live with passion. That's what I'm talking about. So dare greatly and happy reinventing, folks. Hello and welcome to The Power of Reinvention. This is my favorite thing, to be able to sit with great guests and talk about all kinds of reinventions, large and small, 5-minute reinventions, 10-minute reinventions. And as many of you know, I started this podcast because I launched a book called Reinvent Your Life, What Are You Waiting For? Sadly, or maybe joyfully, at the beginning of the pandemic. It was, my pub date was March 7th, which was the week before we were all sent home. And ironically, it sort of became the guidebook for now. It's the conversation around all parts of our lives and opportunities, or, you know, maybe not always opportunities, to rethink what we're doing with our life. And are we really living our best life? So I'm really excited to have my guest, Tony Wells, on the show today. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Kathy. It's great to be with you.
Thank you. Tony and I go way back in business, so many years. I'm going to share some of his accolades and wonderful things that he's been up to, and then we're going to dive into our conversation. So Tony's currently the Senior Vice President of Marketing for Verizon. With more than 30 years of experience working with innovative, high-growth brands, he has deep expertise leading marketing, business development, and strategic partnerships. He joined Verizon from USAA, where he served as chief brand officer. And he's, as a CMO, he's also led marketing teams across various industries and companies, including Schneider Electric, ADT, and 24 Hour Fitness. As a marketer, he has served at other leading brands, including Visa, General Motors, and Nissan. And Tony's experience in different disciplines of the marketing mix has helped build his reputation as a progressive thinker and an agile marketer in a quickly changing, highly competitive, and increasingly digital world. He's a member of the board of directors for Yelp, the Association of National Advertisers, known as the ANAs, and the New York Ad Club. He proudly served as an infantry officer in the United States Marine Corps, thank you, Tony, and holds a BS degree from the United States Naval Academy and a management certificate from Johns Hopkins Carey School of Business. So that's just a little introduction to the amazing Tony, and I am so proud to have known him and watched him move through many of those career moves, right, Tony? I think we go back quite a bit.
Maybe 20 years or so. God. So time flies when you're having
doesn't
fun.
Doesn't it? And we've had some really fun conversations in your journey along the years about where to go, what to do, pivots in the road. And this is so much what this conversation is about today. So I actually want to take you back, which is one of the funnest ways to start my show, and ask you, who was little Tony? When you were, you know, growing up, when you were 5 and, you know, probably running around, maybe it was a fire truck or a doctor or some crazy other thing that you thought, wow, when I grow up, this is exactly what I'm going to do. Are you doing what you really thought you'd be doing at the age of 5 or 12 or 18? Let's kind of go back.
No uncertain terms am I doing what I thought I'd be doing. I think as a young kid, I was an extrovert, always out talking, meeting folks. You know, maybe a sign of the times when I grew up, you only had the rule of be home by the time the street lights are on.
And so
I would take my bike. I'd be gone all day. My mom wouldn't even know where to begin to look if someone said I was lost. And so, connecting with people, friendships, you know, exploring. I know for me, sports was very important. My mom was a teacher and my dad was a pharmaceutical salesman. And, academics were always stressed at our home. But also you had to kind of do something extracurricular, particularly sports. So that was part of my early, formative years in terms of what was important to me and the idea of, building and working together for something that's fun and engaging and maybe not always about yourself, but about, like I said, making a team successful. So I loved being a kid. You know, it's funny, people sometimes talk about high school. Like I talk with my wife often, yeah. And she goes, I hated high school. And there's a lot of, I loved high school. I think that may have been the pinnacle for me. But no, I like I said, was very fortunate. Both my parents were the first generation in their families to, you know, go and graduate from college, and at least a 4-year college. And education's just always been a, you know, big part of who I am. So, yeah.
I love that.
I was a kid that was often in trouble.
So were you a straight-A student? Or did you just enjoy the education? Like, I enjoyed the education, but I was never a straight-A student. My sister, oh, my God, A++. I was like, no, I'm good. I learned something. I'm good with that.
You know, look, I was an okay student. I think in high school, I got my act together and realized, hey, that you need to really apply yourself. So, you know, I was a B-plus student in high school, honor society and whatnot, along with, you know, kind of being an athlete. But I do think academics was always stressed. And, you know, I was always worried when my mom and dad came home from the parent-teacher conferences that I knew I was going to hear something about. He's very talkative. He's always, you know, kind of playing around, not very serious. But high school is when I finally got serious about academics. So
I could see that even as you're smiling now. I'm like, I can just imagine this little Tony with this little devilish getting into trouble kind of grin on his face.
I'm not sure I was ever ever little. I'm 6'7", 285 right now. I don't know if I was ever little. My mom, I think that was 9 pounds, 10 ounces. I don't think I was ever little.
But that's hysterical.
No, there's also something, you know, from childhood that I went to Catholic school most of my life. And so I kind of wore a tie since, you know, first grade. And then in high school, went to all boys Catholic school.
Right.
Good Counsel down in the D.C. area, pretty well known school now for just academics and athletics. And, you know, if you didn't have your homework, you know, teachers, the brothers could knock you upside the head.
Oh,
so
yeah,
it was a different time back then.
No, well, look, I think we talked about this once. I went to an all girls private school in Australia growing up in uniform, head to toe every day, summer version, winter version. And I, you know, I think there's something really precious about that. It's almost like a lost part of a lot of the education system. And I know there are plenty of beautiful and wonderful private schools people are going to, but I don't know. I think there was something really unique in having that education, that we both were in environments like that. I think that's really special. And did you sort of have a proclivity towards any particular subjects that you feel are any part of what you're doing today? You know,
look, I was more of a science person. Mm-hmm. My dad, when he first graduated from school, was a science teacher, actually. And so there was this kind of unwritten rule that you always had to participate in the science fair. And I can remember lots of different projects along the way competing in that. So, like I said, just academics were stressed. And I went to the Naval Academy and got a general science degree. So it's a little interesting when I first started my career in marketing that I would say the art and science of it all, the art was much more focused and important in terms of creative execution. And now here it is many years later, and I would say science and the data.
Yeah,
and
I was going to say
that component is much more important.
Exactly.
So it is a nice blend.
Yeah, that's funny. And if I'm not mistaken, one of your agencies that you work with is called Art and Science, no?
Yeah, that's true.
I love that. Yeah. Love that little
Very
connection.
Good.
Oh, you know, sometimes I'm actually paying attention at the wheel. It's great. No, but I love that. And I think you're right. You know, it is so interesting that the science of it all today, the data, is so important in that marketing role. And as we're seeing the world evolve and grow, the importance of how that informs so much of what we're dealing with in ways we've never seen, you know, at this rate and this level. So there's probably something really valuable in the way your brain is wired at this point to really work with that? Because I think even from the in the world of marketing, there's all this incredible data, but how are people applying it? And where is it being used? And how are we synthesizing what's coming out of this data? And I've actually been sitting in some meetings this week where this is exactly what we've been discussing. So it's quite topical. I think it's, you know, so important.
Yeah, you know, and I think I've been having some discussions just around the role that DEI can play in expanding the career of marketing. And I think there's a very interesting component now where you talk about the STEM factor of folks being able to apply that skill set. I think there's never been a time when marketing needed more STEM capabilities and professionals, because, you know, as I said before, if you were a copywriter or a photographer or a director, like, you could always find a home in marketing or advertising. And now I think those folks that have a data technology background, MarTech, AdTech, all these things, modeling, AI, ML, like,
big time.
It's all now very, very relevant, and they're skills that are in demand and needed by the profession.
Yeah, no, I love that. So true. So what part of all that you do in the world of marketing kind of excites you? Like, what gets you up in the morning when your eyes pop open and you think, oh, this is going to be a great day because I get to do this today in the big role of all that you're dealing? I mean, you're dealing with a lot at a big company.
Yeah, look, I think I've been, that old saying, if you find something you love, you never work a day in your life. I think I've been blessed with that. I love the field of marketing. I think it's a study in human dynamics and psychology and market demand, and brings in some things I learned in the military too, which I think have been really helpful for me. But I think other than IT, no corporate function has undergone as much change as marketing. And the speed, the volume, and the variability of the types of things that you have to understand as a marketer is just unbelievably growing. And I'll pick on the finance function a little bit. Like, if you're a CFO, I think you could probably leave corporate America, come back in 5 years, and FP&A and planning and how to handle capital markets. Like, a lot of that's probably stayed very, very similar.
Yeah.
I think if you were CMO and you left 5 years and tried to come back and enter the profession, I think it would have flown by.
Yeah. You'd exponentially.
Be very, very pressed. Yeah, because of just how things are changing so quick. So that's what gets me excited to get up in the morning. It's around this idea of lifelong learning, continuing to see what's out there, what's next, and how do we stay relevant? And then how do we resonate with consumers that are consuming your product or your service? So it's just a fun profession.
Right.
It's very, very dynamic and ever changing. There's no set linear pattern to this. It's like, you know, rafting down the Colorado River.
Oh,
it's
God.
Just
hold
it's
on.
Gonna have some
hold
bumps.
On.
And, yeah, hold on. Yeah.
Hold on and grab those next to you, right? So you've had some incredible moves in your career, some great companies that you've worked with. Was there sort of this aha moment that inspired you to move from one company to another? I know that you've moved to different cities because of jobs, which is no easy feat to do with a family. But what was it about what you saw in those moments, that sort of moment of, wow, this could be really good for my career or good for my family, or it's going to be challenging, but we're going to dig in. So with some of these different moves that you made along the way, and I think so many of our audience members who hear this podcast, you know, are sort of confronted with these moments in life where they're going, wow, I have an opportunity. Do I dare? Is it a risk? What's the upside? What's the reward? And, you know, life is full of these aha moments. So when you were at that juncture, what was it that inspired you to actually dig in and say, I'm going to do this? It, you know, I don't know where it's going to end up, but it's worth it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I would want to say I've always been very deliberate on this, but I'm not sure I have. I think Look, it's life. Some changes were forced upon me. Some I made. Some were just, take the leap and see how it all happens. You talk about reinventing yourself. You know, my first change was coming out of the military. I had served 5 years as a Marine officer, and I knew as an infantry officer, like, I don't know if I want to have my next career move be involve carrying a weapon of some sort. Let's just say right, that. Right. And I was very, very fortunate at the time to be able to get a secondary military occupational specialty called MOS in the Marine Corps. And they sent me to be a public affairs officer. And I was deliberate about that. I wanted something that could serve as a transition. And it did set me up very well that after being in the Marines and getting out right after the first Gulf War, I was able to go work for Nissan in their, right. their corporate communications department. And I, in that case, was very deliberate. There are other times when I was just literally frustrated, I would say, with how things were progressing. And I also would say that there are times when I didn't, in a company, see anyone that looked like me. And as an African-American, not seeing leadership makes you wonder, no matter how hard you work, can you achieve and get to that next level? And so there's a...
So can I ask you a question about that, Tony? I mean, were you fully aware of that yourself at that time? I mean, there's so much in the conversation, thankfully, today, which makes everyone more aware. But at the time, were you really aware that that was an issue for you personally?
Yes. I mean, look, I would say from very early on, my time as a Marine officer, the Marines of all the services in terms of the officer corps is probably the least diverse.
Right.
And, you know, when you're a young lieutenant or a company commander, you want to look through the general ranks and say, should I stay here? And look, it's been an ongoing, I think, challenge for the Marine Corps. I love the Marine Corps, but they do have a problem, I think, moving minority officers up and through the ranks. In fact, I think this year was the first time they've ever had a black 4-star general. And so
wow.
I think all those things play into retention of talent.
Right.
And so,
probably
yes,
also
I
the
would
self-confidence
say,
to aspire for a more senior leadership role, I would imagine.
Yes, but I also think you want to feel that if you work hard, you can, that there is no limit, there is no ceiling. And I would say the second thing that really was a aha moment for me, or just a big change, was going through a program at Johns Hopkins in their business school. It was called Leadership Development Program. And the premise of it was to take young minority managers and, as a cohort, put them through the first 15 hours of your MBA. And the thinking was that they would bond and gel. And then as part of this program, you took those first five courses together. But they also had guest speakers come in. Right. And every one Saturday a month, we met together to kind of work on projects. And there's a professor that's still there, Dr. James Calvin, who is in the business, Carey School of Business there. And that program was so instrumental because I think for me, it opened up my eyes to the first time of what it was going to take to be successful in corporate America.
Yeah.
And the guest speakers and the cohort and the kind of strategic thinking around how do you manage your career.
Right.
That was the first time someone had really sat me down and really explained, like, how does this all work? What do you need to bring to this? What are the sacrifices you're going to, have to make? And that to me was a pretty pivotal moment in my corporate career, being able
to
experience that program.
I love that. And I think you're right. It's so important to be able to see that line forward and create, which you have done. I mean, when you look at the roles that you've had and where you are today, you had some kind of a line sightline to where you needed to be or wanted to be. And that's pretty amazing. Were there moments where you felt highly challenged or the things that you were doing maybe a little risky for the career move that you were hoping for, where you just sort of said, you know, I don't know if this is the right one, but I'm going to buckle down and just, you know, stick with it for a while?
Yeah, you know, I think there are a couple points in the journey for me that happened. In 2012, I left 24 Hour Fitness, where I was a CMO, to go to ADT. They were going public. They were doing a spinoff from Tyco. And about 90 days after I landed there, was planning on moving to Florida. You know, my wife was diagnosed with colon cancer. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you think about it, I'm in California in the middle of moving, you know, my family to Florida, whole new, you know, corporate culture, different locale. And we decided that we weren't going to make the move, that I was just going to commute. And so for 2 years, over 2 years, I commuted like 47, 48 weekends out of a year back to California. And then took a red eye Sunday night back into Fort Lauderdale to go to work. And there's something about resilience of that, but it also is just not the smartest thing that you can do in terms of long-term, just the wear and tear, the stress on your body. And not to mention just, you know, needing to be supportive of my wife. But at the same time, there's the practical part. You need the healthcare, you need the income, and you're right in the midst of having, you know, made this jump. And so you're committed and you're, you know, you're looking for a way to do the job well, but also, you know, support your family. And so it's one of those periods in my life that just dramatic impact on me, but man, I'm glad that
it's in the rearview mirror. I remember when you were going through that, and you know, it's not like we spoke every day, but I remember that phase of your life and some of the challenges there. And I am happy for you guys that, you know, everybody's in a better place now too.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're really living your true north now in your lifestyle? I mean, life is not all about work, and you know, you've had a lot of colorful things happen in your work career and worked with amazing companies and had so many incredible opportunities and people, and we have a lot of friends in common in the business world. But you know, are there things that you yourself, Tony, you know, little Tony who's now grown up Tony, that you're getting to fulfill, the creative part of you, the curious part of you, the, you know, what part of your life, if you had the ability to spend more time doing the things that you're passionate about outside the parameters of work, do you feel like you're living your true north in that regard?
Look, I think, if my wife was on here, she'd say I'm still a little out of balance. I'm work in progress on that. I think I'm getting to a point now where I realize that the fewer probably work days ahead of me than there are behind me. And you start to think a little bit about your legacy. Like, what do you want to leave behind? What do you want to be known for?
Yeah.
What will they say about me at my funeral? Like all these, you know, pressing questions. And for me now, I think I'm very interested in sending the elevator back down to the ground floor to help bring more folks along and make the function of marketing more inclusive of women, people of color, different sexual orientations, just all the amazing folks that make up this world. But also, you know, I have a balance of spending time with your kids. You know, I'm a grandfather times four, which I hate to admit.
Amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's a little scary.
Oh, come on. It's happening all around us now. You know, I think the first few was like, what? Wow. And then you're like, okay.
There's a part of me that wants to deny it and another part that just, I got to embrace it.
Right.
So,
I love that.
a little torn, but no, just how amazing life is. And I feel so blessed. Look, I've had a unique career in that, you know, I've worked for 10 different brands and multiple different industries. And I feel so blessed to have gone through that. You know, there's some people who stay with a company for 25, 30 years, or they stay in the same industry. And what's been wonderful talking about reinventing is like every time I go to a different industry, you kind of have to reinvent yourself. You have to bring the skills that you've learned along the way, but know that they have to be, you know, aimed and deployed in a way that benefits the new industry or the new sector or the new company that you're in. So I think, you know, it's been an amazing ride. I feel in many ways in my journey that marketing is becoming more inclusive. Yeah. We still have a long way to go, but the fact that in my time, you know, at some points the idea of a CMO, an African-American CMO, like there were none or very few. Yeah. And now, you know, we still have work to do, but you know, there's 40 or 50 folks that I know that look like me that, you know, run brands for major companies. Yeah. So we're making progress. And I also think at the end of the day, this is about serving the very diverse community that and the country we, you know, live in.
Exactly.
You know, America's great. It has these unbelievable capabilities and beliefs. And now I think it's just really incumbent on us to make sure we live up to them and try to live them every day.
Yeah, so. I love that. And I think to your point, to lean in and be a part of the narrative, be a part of the story, be a part of the change, be a part of the impact. I mean, you talk about paying it forward to those, you know, coming up behind you. And I think that is so incredible and so important. Look, I've been running a female founded company for 34 years. And there was not a lot of conversation happening when I started my business about female empowerment and having a voice and equal pay and you can do it and all these amazing organizations and groups that exist to sort of support the conversation. And I just kind of went for it. I created what I wanted and I built what I wanted. But I now feel the same obligation to sort of mentor so many young women and help bring them forward into the world and give them that confidence and see what it takes to juggle raising children and running a business and being on planes and, you know, catering to clients and their needs and making sure that the team is all, you know, very well versed in the company culture and all of that. And, you know, it's wonderful when we get to a place in our life and our careers where we can say, hey, it's time to kind of look at who's coming up behind us and being able mm-hmm. to invest in them. And, you know, I share that interest as well, you know, especially focusing on women and
look, I think you're exactly right. You know, it's kind of like that old camping thing, like leave it better than when you got there.
Yeah.
And and I think about that often. It's like as you move through life, different roles, like are you leaving something better than when you arrived? And I think if you can do that and achieve that, you know, then as I said, your legacy will be truly cared for.
So I have a fun question for you. You have done some pretty cool stuff with some really cool people, a lot of good brands, but you also sit at the center of some pretty cool things that have happened, like, oh, I don't know, Super Bowl, concerts, the music industry. You mm-hmm. have met a lot of interesting people in your life. If you were to have a dinner party and could invite anybody, dead or alive, to be sitting at your table, three or four people that really, you know, you'd love to break bread, have a glass of wine with, have an interesting conversation, who might be those people?
Wow, that's a really interesting question. So I'm going to start with sports, the idea of someone like a Jesse Owens.
Oh, wow.
Just about the time that how he displayed greatness in probably the most difficult of times. Martin Luther King Jr., just in terms of what he's meant to America and just insights. Gandhi, probably.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm going to throw Holly Berry in there just for, you know.
I love that. Can you imagine just being a part of a conversation where she and Gandhi are kind of talking about stuff, whatever that is? I mean, okay, I'd like to be there, please. I'll bring the wine. Amazing. That is really fun. I love that. I think, you know, it's interesting. You just kind of look at who inspires you in life. And I'm sure you know, whether or not it's deliberate, you've probably mentored so many people that, you know, are really inspired by what you've done, the role that you've carved out for yourself, and what you're trying to achieve from a company culture standpoint of Horizon and everywhere else that you've been. And I just think it's really precious and it's important. I also love what you shared about just, you know, those moments where you kind of leaned into what you had to do. I think, you know, reinvention for people can be a very daunting thing. There's a lot of risk, there's reward, there's taking a chance on something, relocating a family and picking up and moving, or, you know, new jobs. And it's just so much that a lot of us sort of tend to shut down. And I think the last 2 years have shown us that, you know, just be open and ready for change and embrace it in a way that you're comfortable with. And we're all very different and we deal with things in such different ways. But I think that, you know, you've gone through a lot of those moments. Sorry.
Yeah, I think the last 2 years with COVID, I think have just shown everyone the importance of resilience and how you can adapt and overcome. And look, it was a forcing function, right? I don't know if we would have ever all moved to remote work like this if someone had mandated it from on top.
Yep.
But I just think it really goes to the idea that in a go-forward world, change is the only constant. And look, maybe for me, my early days in the military, served as indoctrination. Like, you're in the military, you pretty much get a new job every 2 years and you're going to be potentially moving. And so the idea of kind of moving from a different brand, or even with companies, you know, Nissan, 3 different locations in 6 years, like it never really, didn't phase me. Now, I had a divorce along the way, so like I won't say that there wasn't sacrifice and some challenges along the way. But I think at the end of the day, just being deliberate with what you're trying to accomplish and do, and having the loved ones in your life aligned or at least locked arms with you, I think is super important, because you don't do it alone.
Yeah.
And you need help and you need support. And some of this reinventing yourself, you can't do in a vacuum when you have a spouse and kids. It's just, it won't be as successful, in my opinion.
You kind of need the team around you to embrace at some level what you're doing and how you're doing it. And that's important. I talk a lot about that in the book. Well, Tony, I could talk to you about all of this for so long, but you are one very busy man and you've got a lot on your plate. And I just thank you so much for being here today, for sharing some of your insights and your journey and conversation with me. Any other last thoughts or any?
No, I want to tell you, you've been an inspiration to me. And when you and I had breakfast recently, I was like, okay, Kathy wrote a book. That's very interesting. I've got that on my bucket list. So we'll see what happens. It might end up being a kid's book, you know, 10 pages with stick drawings, but I'm gonna do a book.
I love it. You know what? I'm here for you, Tony. Whatever you need, I will give you the guidance and the guy that does the stick figures and whatever it takes. But you know what?
So worst case, it's a children's book because I got 4 grandchildren, so I can at least leave it to them. Right? Best case, what I really wanted to be is a book about, you know, being a successful executive when you're an African American, you know, manager or leader coming up through the ranks. Well, so we'll see. No, it'll be one of those two.
That's a necessity.
I'm going to have you do the forward for either one of those.
Done. Sign me up. I would love to help you on that journey because it really excites me having been through this and what I've learned along the way. So I'm here for you.
And you're inspiring others. You're inspiring others.
Yeah, it's given me a lot of joy to be that for others as well. So thank you. Thanks for that.
All right. Thank you for the time. It's been great.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening to The Power of Reinvention. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and review the show. Wouldn't mind a 5-star review. It would be greatly appreciated. Also, be sure to visit thereinventionexchange.com to share your reinvention stories, suggest a guest, join the newsletter mailing list, get access to my book, which is called Reinvent Your Life, What Are You Waiting For?, and discover fantastic bonus content with my blogs, and listen in to the Reinvention Virtual Chat series. Don't forget to join me next week for another episode. Please share with a friend. And thank you for listening. Happy reinventing.